I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch, We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Agony Aunties podcast mini-series. Each week, we're diving into some of your questions and offering our unique insights and therapeutic expertise to help you navigate life's challenges. As seasoned therapists, I'm quite a lot more seasoned than my daughters. We're here to share our thoughts, perspectives, and a dose of compassion. So get ready for each episode where listener questions take center stage, and we do our best to provide you with thoughtful guidance and a touch of wisdom. Hello, Sophie and Emily. The question is, how can I be happy when a family member is very depressed? The first thing that comes up for me is that old kind of cliche, which is you can only be as happy as your least happy child. It's child, but also I would say family member. And I think there's a kind of unhealthy enmeshment in that, and that as hard as it is if you're living with someone who's depressed, I think it's really important to find ways of living your own life, supporting yourself. And depression is contagious. All feelings are contagious. But to find ways of giving yourself permission to be happy even when a family member is depressed. That thought came out quite quickly.
I think I would only extend what you said, really, or echo it maybe, in that I would say, I think it is impossible not to be affected when someone you love deeply is extremely unhappy. And at the same time, what sort of in sort of therapeutic terms would be called codependency, they're the sort of degrees of how much you tie your own happiness to the happiness of someone else. And then all the kind of dynamics that can then flow from that resentment and wanting to control the other person to make them happy, everyone are trying to adapt around that person. I think it can be quite helpful if you're in that scenario to look into codependency, just because it's quite useful in talking about how to recenter yourself on your own needs. Because I think what often happens, as with if someone has an addiction or is in a very extreme state of mental distress, is it can then take over the family, it can take over your mental life, your emotional life, which actually is not even good for the person who is struggling. Actually, it's quite helpful and healthy for you to have a voice for your own needs in that scenario, both for yourself, going out and doing what you need to do, but also with that person. Because actually being unhappy tends to be a quite self-obsessive state because you're in a lot of pain. And just like if you have a really sore leg, then you're quite preoccupied by how sore your leg is all the time. And sometimes you need to make a demand to be seen by your partner who's very unhappy, for both of you or for your child. There can be needs in there that need to be met for you to then be able to be there for your child, which is really just an extension of what Mum is saying about needing to take care of yourself and tune back in. As someone who definitely has the habit of getting very preoccupied by other people who are unhappy, I speak from
this
experience.
Is a lesson for yourself.
Yeah. I have to actively like learning a habit, like shining a light back inwards, going like, move my attention from over there back in here. And it almost is a kind of CBT type habitual thing.
Yeah, I think that both words of wisdom. And I think with depression, like Soph said, an addiction as well, is that the symptoms of depression often mean that that person isn't seeking any help. So they're kind of, it's hard for them to find the energy to get up and go and do something that might help themselves. And I think from a partner point of view, that can be incredibly frustrating and angry making. And I think it's sometimes, if this has been going on for a very long time and is deeply damaging to you and your family, I think there does come to a point where you have to have that conversation with this person of like, I don't know if I can keep doing this, if you are continually not at least trying to get some help, I don't think it's something that you can sustain as a partner or as a, in a family indefinitely. If that person isn't able for whatever reason, and it's not about blaming them, because I'm sure there are good reasons that they're not able to get help. But at some point, I think you also have to sort of reflect on, can I keep doing this in the way that we are doing it? Maybe that's overly harsh. I don't know.
No, I think you're 100% right. I mean, I think everybody has limits and relationships have limits. And I think it's so complicated, because if your partner is depressed, you love them and you want to be loving and your best self, but also you're not receiving, the partner isn't the partner you fell in love with, because when they're depressed, they're not able to respond to you in a way that your needs feel met at all. You can feel manipulated, you can feel resentful, you can feel furious, and then you feel bad that you feel all those things, because you feel like it's not their fault. I've got to be loving and good and kind. And I think in a way what Sophie's saying and what you're saying is right, is that in order for the relationship to stay on track as much as it can, you have to be honest about your own needs and your own limits and your frustrations.
And your own self-knowledge that you can't fix somebody else.
Yes.
You can't. You can't love somebody better.
And also being unhappy if your partner is depressed isn't going to make them happier. Is it? I mean, it's quite an interesting question. Like, where does that come from, that somehow we have to take on the experience of the people that we love rather than allowing ourselves to be sentient beings and have our own rights to our own feelings and our own happiness? We're born relational.
I think it's very painful seeing someone you love in pain, and you want to fix it. And of course, there are like some things that you can do, like make suggestions, try and get them to a therapist, get them to a GP, all of those things.
Good habits.
Yeah, good habits, food, sleep. But ultimately, you can't control another human being. And if they're not able to do those things, then that's one of the most painful things, is the powerlessness of it.
Self-care.
Other people,
some distraction, some things that take you out of that preoccupation and bring you back into maybe a wider reality of the other things that are good in your life, or that can refocus your attention onto your friends or onto your work, or exercise to help shift the feelings. Because of that thing of depression being contagious, I think your body can get very heavy with the lowness and the anger and the frustration and the fear that exists around, sort of particularly around more severe depression. And that exercise is a particularly good antidote. Or an exercise can look like dancing around your room to songs you really love. It's not like necessarily go and sign up to a gym class. But anything,
or in my case, kickboxing, so I could punch the lights out.
Or a good Zumba class or whatever helps shift the feelings.
Getting away, like go to stay with a friend for a weekend, if that's a possibility. Give yourself a break.
I think we've mostly focused on this as a partner, but maybe that's an assumption we've made.
But actually, I think what we said about codependence, taking care of yourself, recognising the limits of your own power and influence on someone else's mood, that they, in the end, have to be able to want to, I mean, they, you know, being depressed, you need as a family member, whether it's your sister, your mother, your partner, or your child, it's only within them that they can get their needs met for their depression, and however that looks. So I think it fits whichever relation it is. And there are organisations that people can go to.
There's CALM, which is a charity for men, which is called the Campaign Against Living Miserably.
Such a good name.
Resources. There's obviously MIND and the kind of mainstream mental health charities like Samaritans, and Papyrus is a sort of suicide.
Papyrus is for young people.
It's for young people, yeah.
Thank you, Emily and Soph, and thank you very much for sending in your question. Do please keep DMing me on Instagram at JuliusAmilMBE if you have a question. We love getting your questions and answering them. Do share this with someone if you think it will be helpful to them. And to the person that sent the question, I hope this gives you something to work with. It's not an answer, but it's ideas and thoughts, and I hope there's something there that is helpful for you. And thank you for asking us, and thank you everyone for listening.